In today's first reading, we heard a prophecy, and it went like this. Your king shall come to you, a just savior is he, meek and riding on an ass. And we all know, we kind of know when that happened. Palm Sunday, Christ rode on a donkey into Jerusalem. And it's pretty incredible to think about. Christ was heading to Jerusalem to go save us all. And he rode in, not on a horse, not on in some other grand way, as he's coming in to do the greatest thing anybody's ever done for us. He rides in on a donkey. Our God is a pretty humble God. And we see it time and time again. It's pretty cool to just even stop and think about how many humble things Christ did for us. Starting with the first thing he ever did, becoming man. The fact that Christ, God, decided to, in his infinite, take on human flesh and come to this world and live and breathe and feel pain and suffering like we do. Pretty humble. And then, on top of that, he's born to a young girl who's poor in a stable in an insignificant town. And then he grows up poor, and he's known as the son of a carpenter. Humble. This is God we're talking about. Humble. And then, down the road, a little bit longer, he gets in this line of people who are waiting in the Jordan River to go repent of their sins and be baptized by John the Baptist. And he stands right in the middle of them like he's a sinner, like he's one of them, even though he's not. He's perfect. He's God. And the very sins these people are committing, he's the one that those sins are offending. Yet in humility, he stands there amongst the sinners. It's a humble God. And then we know it gets even better. You know, he reaches out to the humble amongst him, to the meek amongst him. And then rides into to Jerusalem on a donkey, humble, allows himself to be arrested, beaten, spat on, whipped, crown of thorns put on his head, mocked, and ultimately crucified and killed on a cross. That's a humble, humble God. Pretty incredible. And even though we have prophecies like today's first reading that kind of give us an idea of what a Savior might have been like when he came, nobody could have predicted. There's other prophecies as well that kind of hint at it, but nobody could have predicted that, first of all, God would become man, and then at the same time, be so humble in doing it. If we would have known God was coming to save us as a man, we at least would have expected him to really flaunt that and be like the greatest looking king of all time. But he came very humbly, and he was God. Pretty dang incredible. And nobody could have predicted that. And we hear in the gospel today that when Jesus came, even though people couldn't have predicted he was going to come in the way he did, there were a lot of people who were lucky enough to be there during the time that Christ visited us, and there was two different ways people responded to that. Christ said, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the little ones. The wise and the learned of Jesus' time, many of them, in their pride, were unable to recognize that this humble carpenter was actually the Savior. Their pride wouldn't let them accept that this was actually the Messiah we've been waiting for. All these years they've been waiting for a Messiah, but their pride got in the way. They weren't able to see it. But the little ones, the humble, they were able to accept his call and follow him and recognize Christ's holiness. We can learn a lot ourselves from the response of the people in Jesus' time to Christ. The proud, the wise, and the learned. We can learn from them. We can also learn from the humble. Sometimes ourselves, in our pride, when things are going good, life seems easy. Job's going well. You know, everything seems to be going good. Family's in good shape. Even some sins that we used to commit, we've kicked those. We seem to be doing really well. And we don't intentionally say, God, I don't want you, but things are going so good that we can easily forget God, and we don't recognize his presence amongst us, like the proud and arrogant, like the wise and learned of Jesus' time. And in humility, if we could take a step back and be humble, we would recognize that despite all the good things that are going on, we still need God, and it's because of him that we have so many good things. And so in humility, we're thankful for the good in our lives and for the blessings we have. And then the humble, we can learn so much from them, the little ones Jesus speaks about. And if you look at those who he called all kinds of different people, the people he reached out to. There were those who were, you know, he healed the blind, healed the sick. There are those who were grieving for multiple, all kinds of different reasons, and he's bringing all of them to himself. And we're good about that. You know, when we're in need, when we're grieving, when maybe financially we're struggling, when relationships are tough, we need God so much that it is, for a lot of us, kind of easy to go to him because we need him so much. But there's another group of people that Jesus reaches out to that I think we sometimes forget about, and that's those who are sinners. That's those who were caught up in sin. And Jesus met him right in the middle of that, like the woman caught in adultery, and loved her and forgave her. He told her, don't sin anymore. He's not saying sin's okay. But when you do sin, come to me. I love you. I forgive you. And we can learn a lot from that. It's easy to go to God when we need him because we're desperate for some help. But in our sin sometimes, we're ashamed to go to God. We feel too guilty. Or maybe we're ashamed to even come to church. We're ashamed to admit we're Christians or that we're Catholic. We feel too guilty. And when we do that, then the devil wins. That's the whole point of our sin. It's supposed to separate us from God. But God wants us to, in our sin, even if it's the same sins we keep committing over and over again. A lot of us have this one sin we can't seem to kick, and gosh darn it, I'm going to get it this time. I'm not going to do it again, and we do. Even that sin, once we give in, we go to Christ. And in humility, we admit, Lord, I can't do this on my own. It's too hard. I'm too fallen. In humility, we admit, I need your help to help me through these sins and draw me closer to yourself. And you can imagine when we say that prayer after we fall, what the devil's thinking. He thinks, oh my God, I got this guy, this girl, to fall into this again and again. I did it. But when we turn that on its head and we use our guilt from that sin to return to Christ and ask him for help, you imagine the devil? Come on. Come on, I thought I had him. Instead, in a way, our sin and our humility in that guilt can actually lead us closer to Christ. And that's a great lesson we can take from these little ones that we see in Christ's gospel. God calls all of us in the good and the bad, and definitely in our sin. So when we sin, the last thing we want to do is run from God. We run to him, and he's waiting for us with open arms to love us and forgive us every time. That's the God that's the humble God we have that accepts us back every time. So in the good, we're thankful for the good. In the bad, we go to him. In our sin, we go to him. And we try to reflect Christ's humility out in the world so that we can recognize him amongst us as the meek and humble did in his time and bring him to the meek and humble in our midst as well.